Okay, we've made it all the way to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 19. A verse that everybody who's messed up wants to hide behind. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now, the idea here isn't that the elder is so sacrosanct he never errs. Rather, make sure it's settled. Make sure that you didn't get it wrong. And note also, verse 20, them that sin rebuke before all. Maybe that's the elder. Maybe that's the two or three witnesses.
Yes.
But what you've got going on here is a fracas of some degree. Now, as we saw in the first verse of chapter 5, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. There is a decorum here. There is a difference between these doctrinal disputations and an MFF man, an MMF man. I mean, there needs to be a certain behavior that's not nasty, visceral,
yes,
hate-filled, and all of that.
Yes.
Now, Paul here, when he talks about two or three witnesses, is hearkening all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 6, where Jehovah God makes that the measure for Israel, that there be two or three witnesses. And of course, that is referred to again in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. The Lord Jesus himself uses that as the basis of his statement in Matthew chapter 18 in the so-called church dispute procedure, which is not about the church, which is his body, but Israel's little flock.
Yes.
And take two or one or three or two, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So the concept of having corroboration is something that is dealt with back in the Old Testament, Jesus speaking to Israel about its New Testament, and here in the dispensation of God's grace, it shows up again in Paul's writings. I think it's fair to say we live in a time when anonymous accusations have more traction,
yes,
than maybe ever in human history, and that is because of everything from Facebook to YouTube to Craigslist, because stuff can be put out there, and whether or not it's true is not the issue.
Yeah.
One anonymous liar can disseminate false information and it gets reported when you Google it as if it were true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I looked for examples and there were so many. I picked one of the more ludicrous ones, where Michael Jackson was reported to have attended Brigham Young University. Which never happened. But it stood as a fact in Wikipedia for 9 months. Wikipedia is an encyclopedia drawn up by people who don't know much.
Yum.
Read by people who don't know anything.
Exactly.
If you read Wikipedia and I made you mad, well, next time the door-to-door salesman comes by with an Encyclopedia Britannica, get one of those and compare.
Yes.
Because Wikipedia is all driven by the participants and is supposed to be edited, is supposed to be reviewed, but the fact is, a lot of times, all they do is put two contrary things next to each other and call that balance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one's true and one's a lie. So we live in a strange time where were I to hear something on somebody's web page about you, I'm going to talk with you, not with them.
Yes.
Or I'm just going to disregard it entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Consider the source. So, the idea of accusing an elder. Now, the elder shouldn't hide behind this verse and think that he's insulated from truth.
Yes.
No one's insulated from truth. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, them that sin rebuke before all function, that others see it's wrong to sin, that others may fear, that others see, whoops, this is a wrong thing. Now, fundamental Bible believers are not allowed to rebuke anybody about anything, because we're just so judgmental and so mean-spirited and so filled with hate, and we're hate-mongers and all of that kind of stuff. The example I've given you in your notes and outlines is, were we to rebuke homosexuality? Not about people, but about the behavior.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the plumbing doesn't work. Babies aren't produced. But problematical diseases are.
Yes.
It is disease prone, and the life expectancy of homosexuals is much less.
Yes.
Than that of normal people. Now, how much trouble am I in for saying normal people?
Why?
Oh, no! Huh?
Yeah.
Well, I can't say normal. That means they're
abnormal.
Abnormal. Queer.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Did I say that word? That what they do is... Well, that's an invented word, homophobic.
Yeah, it is.
That word didn't show up till the 70s.
Yep.
So you rebuke the behavior.
Yes.
Ellen, when she first appeared on the Johnny Carson show as a stand-up trying to find her place, made the joke that her last name kind of sounds like I'm a degenerate. It didn't take long to find something I could cut and paste, that life expectancy for a 20-year-old homosexual or bisexual man is 8 to 20 years less than all men. They don't say normal. The authors estimate that nearly half of homosexual and bisexual men currently age 20 would not reach their 65th birthday.
Wow.
So the actuarial tables say it's killing you.
Yes.
Death by AIDS ain't pretty.
No.
So study after study comes to the same conclusion. I should encourage that? Wait a minute. My loving, paternalistic government is all over smoking, secondhand smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta put nasty labels on them. You gotta write words on the side. Okay. What these people over here are doing kills them before they're 50.
Yeah.
Are you going to say anything about that?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? We're agenda driven.
Yes, we are.
Isn't it amazing? So we're shut down. Freedom of speech.
Oh, yeah.
Depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And you don't really have freedom of speech to talk about anything. Having been thrown off many radio stations, I can tell you, the Christians are worse than the secular folks.
Oh, yes.
Them that sin rebuke before all. Apparently make a show of it.
Yeah.
That others may fear. Now, in the context that verse 20 has with verse 19, there's a chance that the two or three people rebuking the elder, all three of them are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a chance the reason that person is an elder is because he knows more than the three of them combined and multiplied by the choir.
Yes.
So be careful.
Yes.
If that is possible, then might not it be wise to have the decorum and the politeness and the respect that we spoke to earlier?
Yes.
And if those guys are wrong, then verse 20, the elder can turn around and say, you see Larry, Moe, and Curly here? They're out there running around saying the body of Christ is going to go through the tribulation. Let's assign one of them a horn to honk, one of them a whistle to blow, and this one we won't let him say anything. But they are Larry, Moe, and Curly. They are the three stooges of the grace movement.
Oh, yes. Amen,
hmm?
Amen.
So, there can be the rebuke. Is the rebuke open? The reason, verse 20, is before all, is because you've dealt with the privacy issues, the dealt with the decorum and meeting in private in verse 19.
Yes.
So, I'm always going to take a verse from Proverbs and refer to meeting with people in the spirit of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Somebody comes at you hammer and tong, you are immediately in a defensive posture, ready to swing back.
Yes.
So a soft answer is a good starting point. Paul says it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, the spirit of meekness involved in the restoration of the person that's in error. The objective is always the 1 Corinthians objective of having us all saying the same thing because we've all got our doctrine right.
Yes.
Paul is not glad that one's a Barnabas and one's a Apollos and one's a this and one's a that. He would have all to be in agreement. That's not often going to happen.
No.
A funny thing, when a person, let's say, leaves the Baptists to become Mid-Acts Pauline dispensation, that person forgets there are Northern Baptists who don't get along with the Southern Baptists, who don't get along with the National Baptists, who don't get along with the Progressive Baptists, who don't get along with the Free Will Baptists. They forget all the schisms. Mm-hmm. And when they come to Mid-Acts, they expect Lake Placid, not a ripple. Total agreement. Everybody says the same thing. Dream on. It's important, I think, to be reminded that because of personal issues, Paul fired Barnabas.
Yes.
Barnabas was a good guy. You know, from Acts chapter 11, verse 24, he was a good man. We know from Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, the Holy Ghost separated out Barnabas with Saul.
Yeah.
Not a bad resume. Acts 11:24, Acts 13:2, good man. The Holy Ghost picked him.
Yeah.
Not bad. In chapter 15, we see the logistics in verse 37, where Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Okay. You get up, have a cup of coffee, get your Bible packed, ready to go to the work. John Mark says, see ya. I was counting on him. There were things I wanted him to do. No warning. He's gone. Be a long time before I delegate anything in his direction again, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
So, he departed and went not with them to the work. Barnabas says, I want him to come with us. He's my cousin. Paul said, in your hat. The contention was so sharp between them, Paul and Barney split over John Mark.
Yep.
Acts chapter 15, verse 39 is the last mention of Barnabas in your Bible. Good man, separated out by the Holy Ghost. Stick a fork in him. Now, I don't know that he quit the work.
No.
But Paul didn't trust his judgment. And Paul wasn't going to be put in a compromising position again where he's ready to charge hell with a squirt gun and the guy with the water bucket quits.
Yep.
John leaves in Acts chapter 13. He shows up at the end of Paul's ministry and Paul calls for him.
Yes.
What's weird about that is apparently John Mark gets his act together and Barnabas, I go back to Acts 15, the contention was so sharp between them. There's a verse in Proverbs that talks about a brother being offended is harder to win than a walled
yep.
city.
Yep.
So you offend the brother. See, John Mark wasn't even on the scene when Paul had the fight with Barnabas.
Yeah.
He'd already bailed. And so John wants to call him back to the work. Barnabas wants to call him back to the work. And Paul won't have anything to do with it. When Paul writes Philemon, he mentions Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas. He doesn't mention Barney.
No.
Barney was there with Peter, James, and John in Acts 15. Barney was a major player. Not anymore. The point about Barnabas that I'd like to make, and this is conjecture, is that for people to reconcile, they both have to want to.
Yes.
And a lot of times, so many times, you try to settle a doctrinal issue. And when you get to the point of crunch time where one or the other of them is right and the other one is wrong, the wrong one gets up from the table and won't talk anymore. Just defensive, just prideful. One nice thing, by God's mercy and grace, and no doubt it was predestined from before the foundation of the world, having gotten saved so late in life, I didn't have a religious upbringing to defend.
Yes.
So if you dump a bucket of truth on me, I'm going to be pliable. When I'm wrong, I'm not invested in my rightness.
Yeah.
I want this book to be right. So, maybe a different perspective is helpful, but I'll say this about doctrinal issues. Most times, they are easier to resolve than personal issues.
Yes.
Because with personal issues, the flesh gets involved.
Mm-hmm.
Reputation and all of that kind of stuff gets involved, and you resolve doctrinal issues by sitting around your Bible. You resolve personal issues by being crucified on Calvary's cross, which is easier.
Yeah.
Sitting down around the Bible is a whole lot easier than really recommending yourself dead. I mean, it's one thing to say the verse, it's quite another to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got then an example of our apostle, Paul, being unable to reconcile the situation with Barnabas, unwilling to compromise the situation for the sake of Barnabas' cousin, John Mark, And he will just as soon pick up Silvanus, because Silvanus will be there. Why? In Colossians, in chapter 4, Paul writes in verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, see the cousin relationship? Mm-hmm. Touching him, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Paul's got doubts about the guy showing up. I'm not the first to say it, but most of life is showing up. One young man said to me just a week ago, 2 weeks ago, he said, you seem to know a lot about the Kroger Company. And I said, we've had previous conversations, obviously, and I said, well, I started as a carryout boy. And I was a carryout boy for a day, and then I was a cashier for a day, and then by the weekend I was in the produce department, and 6 months later, I'm managing training, I said, you can go from rags to riches if you just show up. Mm-hmm. Do your work with energy.
Yes.
And don't mess up. Okay. Because everybody you're competing against, they won't show up.
Sure.
They won't do the work with energy.
No.
Mm-hmm. You'll just be like the cream that floats to the top.
Yeah.
So, that's good advice.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Showing up is something Paul doubts is going to happen. Faithfulness is so key, is it not? Well, these issues get to where rubber meets road, and the road's got a face, it's people.
Yes.
In verses 19 and 20. There will, let me back up and try to take another shot at saying it better. There needs to be doctrinal disputation among mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right dividers, so the ones that are wrong change.
Yes.
We get it right.
Amen.
We need to speak with one mouth, with one voice. It would be a good thing. So I would rejoice if the grace movement had not a unity conference, but a conference of disputes. Why do these idiots think the King James Bible is God's Word when we know only the originals? Okay. I've got two sides of the debate right there. Let's go. When you get done, you may have two identifiable groups.
Yes.
Rather than the clouds in the coffee that Carly Simon sang about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was offered to meet behind closed doors in Richard Jordan's office with the Shorewood Bible Church's board of directors so that they could explain to me what Richard was teaching about the deity of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said, I would be thrilled to meet with you, the board of directors, Richard, but not behind closed doors.
No.
We do it in an auditorium, invite anybody that wants to come, two microphones, and turn on the tape recorder.
Yes.
Public.
Yes.
Not hidden in secret.
Have they set a date yet for that?
Has hell frozen over yet? The devil will be buying ice skates. Why, check out their website. You can't find what Pastor Jordan teaches about the deity of Christ.
No,
it is totally obliterated. You know, except in his core belief system. He has a flawed Christ.
Yes.
Wonder if he's a Hashem Christ or Ham Christ. Yes, he's got that problem too.
Well, yes, he does.
I am hard to get along with.
Thank you.
1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. What a way to talk. Shouldn't he have said, I respectfully suggest that you consider these matters and perhaps put them to a vote at a later meeting of the Unity Conference. What a bodacious fellow talking the way that he does. Do it, son. That's what he just said. Mm-hmm. His son in the faith, he's laying it out plain. And in verse 21, you see what I said was right about verses 19 and 20, that the elder is not someone about which you can't argue. You can go to him. There's a right way to do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he's not sacrosanct. He's not above at all. Mm-hmm. I know that because you don't prefer one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Do you realize how easy it is to say that you do nothing by partiality and how hard it is to do nothing by partiality?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every teacher has a pet.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
So, I know it was George Orwell in Animal Farm where one of the pigs said all of the animals are equal, but some are more equal than others.
Yeah. Yes.
Nothing by partiality. I think sometimes I don't communicate it very well, and so maybe I get misheard or misunderstood. I'm not saying that the elder needs to be isolated and standoffish, but I am saying he needs to be professional.
Yes.
And keep personal issues at arm's length. Mm-hmm. Nothing by partiality.
Yeah.
But I like you best.
So that's a learned behavior.
Yes, it is.
A lot of grace assemblies are little more than a little Bible study, and part of its family. How do you not, by partiality, treat one better than it's a professional. It's a learned behavior.
Yes.
When I was silly 3 minutes ago, I didn't walk over and say, I love you best.
Yeah.
Because that would have made it family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. I just made the point saying that you don't do anything by partiality and doing it that are miles apart. But there is a level of professionalism that ministry requires.
Yeah.
Not about the pretty people, it's not about the wealthy people. Those folks in an assembly have to come down a couple notches because society venerates the wealthy and the pretty and that kind of business.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the folks who the world system disenfranchises prosper in an assembly because it's the only place they've gotten a shot.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Paul calls himself the least of all saints. There's a good attitude. Self-deprecation. Not for show, but for the heart. Were it not for God's grace, you'd be rotting in hell, right or wrong.
right.
He has a vision.
So that helps, I think, by executing nothing by partiality. Realizing we're all the same sinful flesh, that only by God's grace do we have any better opportunity. I need to say something about the elect angels mentioned in the verse. It's not a tricky thing. Elect in your Bible is never about a person. It's always about a purpose.
Yeah.
And so there are fallen angels in Revelation 12, verses 4 to 8. There are angels who defected and left their first estate in Jude, verse 6. There are angels that sinned in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Psalm 82 is all about that. God's purpose of glorifying Himself, the Father, Son, and Spirit, God's purpose is being acceded to and agreed to by these certain angels that serve as a witness to the truth of verse 21. So it's not predestined angels. It's not Jewish angels. It's just folks who are lining up with God's purpose. I've not seen them. Some folks say they have. I've read quite a few books where people are talking to them. One fellow had a real problem with the angel that visited him because the dog came into the room while the angel was there. Does that mean there's now fleas in heaven? The name of the book is Angels on Assignment. You can read it for yourself.
Oh, yes.
Wacky, wacky, wacky. So the elect angels is not anything that Calvin has anything to do with or predestined. The purpose of God, the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, the purpose of these angels that are getting it right as opposed to the four different classifications of angels that we touched on that got it wrong, is to bear witness to the church, which is the pillar and ground of truth, doing it right. Paul says, I'm telling you before everybody that matters listening, I'm telling you, go by what I just got done writing you in 1 Timothy chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Don't compromise, don't equivocate, don't chicken out, press on,
yeah.
Do the work. Paul is very strident in verse 21. Next time we'll pick up at verse 22, and there's really no good chance that we'll finish chapter 5 next time either. There's just too much material. We're going about two verses at a time, if you notice.
That's good.
So we'll deal with Budweiser next week, among other things. Many, many, many.
Yeah.
All right.